Welcome to Conestoga 10 podcast number 11 for Tuesday, June 27th, 2006. Conestoga is Oklahoma's largest literary science fiction and fantasy convention. It will be held July 28th through the 30th, 2006 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We are celebrating 10 years of Conestoga, Misha Merlin Publishing, and Yard Dog Press. Recently, I had the opportunity to interview author Lee Killow. Her stories always seem to have an air of mystery about them, whether they lean towards science fiction, fantasy, or even ghost stories. If you aren't familiar with Lee's writings, I hope this interview will give you a taste of what you have to look forward to. Oh, and one minor note, the location I interviewed her at had other activities going on, so you might hear some voices in the background. Now to Lee. This evening I have Lee Killow, and she is one of the guests that will be attending Conestoga this year. She is an author of fantasies, of mysteries, and of science fiction novels as well. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
And Lee, we were talking a little bit earlier. You just recently had a book put out by Yard Dog Press called Leopard's Daughter. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, Leopard's Daughter is a fantasy. High fantasy, if you consider high fantasy, has nobility as the protagonist. This is a warrior princess, and she goes in search of a traitor. And it's set in Africa, an ancient Africa where the plains are, where the Sahara are plains, and it uses African culture, African legends, African monsters. So it's a little different from your usual fantasy.
When you were, I'm going to ask you a little bit more about it, but when you were researching the novel, you had your idea for creating the book. How did your did the research change some of the ways you approached the material and how it influenced your writing of the book?
It certainly broadened my appreciation for ancient African culture and for the fact that they did have ancient cultures and ancient civilizations. I wanted to write a short story for Marion Zimmer Bradley's Swords and Sorceresses, and they were looking for something different, and I knew from some casual reading that there had been warrior women in Africa, so I wrote a short story with a warrior woman. And, of course, I had done a little bit of research for that. The story didn't sell to that, but eventually a magazine published it, and then I thought it would make a good first chapter of a novel, so I had to really go into some research to expand the short story into a novel. It almost took me longer to write the book because it was so interesting researching it and tracking down legends and reading anthropological studies of various tribes and how they set up their villages and their belief systems so that I could work all these in. It was probably one of the more fun books to research.
Mm-hmm. And was it also one of the more fun books to write, too?
Yes, it was. It was. And although it's the only real fantasy novel that I've ever written, it's always been a particular favorite of mine. I've always been very, very fond of it and always looking for an audience for it because it is different from usual fantasy books.
Well, that's excellent. Now, you were telling me a little bit about the novel earlier.
Okay, Jinuba is the niece of a king in their tribe, but they look down on her because her mother had a love affair with a were-leopard, a leopard man, and Jinuba is the result of that, and her family looks down on her because of her mixed breeding. When she sets out on a search of a traitor, she eventually finds out that the whole world is a lot different than her narrow little tribe. Her outlook broadens, but she meets very interesting characters along the way. They collect a ragtag bunch. They have to overcome a curse on a city.
So we have a fantasy, but it's also a bit of a mystery as well.
Yeah, she sets out and she has to overcome war, foreign tribes, monsters, and the curse on the fabled city in order to find and bring back this traitor.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that piqued my interest when you were telling me about it was that it was set when the Sahara had plains. So although it is a fantasy novel, was there a particular time period? How long ago would this have been?
It would have been Ice Age in Europe. I doubt that they really had quite the civilization in Africa that I have, and which is why it's fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And I doubt they were riding horses, too. But it just seemed like it would be interesting to have the Sahara as plains instead of desert. But then also it's worked in that the sand is coming for these great cities on the plains, that you know that the Sahara is just kind of lurking in the future mm-hmm. someplace.
I notice here that you are wearing a T-shirt which has the cover of your new book. Are you pleased with the artwork of that? Because it looks very nice.
Oh, John Kaufman. I hope I've got the author right. The
artist.
Artist right. Did it. And, oh, yes, I'm delighted with the cover. It shows an actual African-type woman mm-hmm. on it. Not a lot of books with African-Americans in them or have actual Africans on the covers. And the original cover didn't. 20 years ago, when the book was first published, this is actually a reprint. It's a second edition. It's been re-edited somewhat. Mm-hmm. And, yes, I love the cover. I think it really captures the book.
Because we are celebrating Misha Merlin and Conestoga and Yard Dog Press, you also had a recent book come out for Misha Merlin as well, Killer Karma, I believe.
Yes, I did. It came out in August.
And that's a mystery?
That's a mystery. So it's very different from The Leopard's Daughter. It's a mystery in which the leading character is a ghost. The first line of the book is, he found himself standing in a parking garage with no memory except of his murder. And he's a ghost. And as soon as he figures out he's a ghost, he knows he has something he has to do to be able to move on. But he also doesn't know how to be a ghost. It doesn't come with instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't communicate with people. You know, how do you investigate a crime when you can't pick anything up, when you can't talk to people? You know, so he has to overcome these things and also figure out how to get around from place to place and things like that.
Now, both of these books, Leper's Daughter and Killer Karma, will be available at Conestoga.
Yes, they will.
This is excellent. And, of course, I had interviewed Steve Pagel recently, and he said that they're going to be doing a discount across the board. So this will make it even more tempting to buy your books.
Well, we hope so. Killer Karma is the first one I've had to come out in hardback.
Mm-hmm.
Up to then, the books from Misha Merlin have been trade paperbacks.
What is the appeal of writing cross-genre, writing in different genres, or that you like mixing the genres?
I kind of like mixing the genres because then I don't have to choose which one I want to write. I discovered mysteries and science fiction at the same time when I was about 11 years old. And I started writing them because I was afraid I was going to run out of them. I could see how fast I was going through the shelves of reading them, and I was afraid I would run out of them. So I started writing my own. I figured that was the only way to keep having mysteries and science fiction in my life. But I hated to make the choice of whether I wanted to write science fiction or mysteries, and the solution seemed to be to mix them.
Mm-hmm.
Make them the same book.
Well, that's excellent. And also, of course, from your comment earlier, it sounds like you are a voracious reader.
Yes. My house is groaning with the books that have accumulated in it. They've overtaken every room, and my to-be-read shelves are filling up the bedroom.
Well, I think that about covers everything. Lee, I appreciate you allowing me to interview you on such short notice here, and looking forward to seeing you at Conestoga.
Oh, this has been an enjoyable interview. I look forward to seeing you. Thanks.
You're welcome. I hope that you enjoyed listening to Lee Killow as much as I enjoyed interviewing her. Alas, it was far too short, but Conestoga 10 will soon be upon us, so be sure to attend one of her panels and maybe even pick up one of her books. We hope the podcasts so far have given you a taste of what to expect at Conestoga 10. The schedule is now available online, so you can find out what panels you'd like to attend and what guests you'd like to meet. And of course, don't forget to join in the celebrations for 10 years of Yard Dog Press, 10 years of Misha Merlin, and 10 years of Conestoga. The convention is only a few weeks away, and yes, we have more podcasts coming. We have interviews with authors Mark Shepard and Maggie Bonham. We also have a special podcast from our programming chair, Melissa Tatum, on, well, programming, and also how to be a moderator. After Conestoga 10 is over with, you'll be able to look forward to Conestoga 11, Since this is our 11th podcast, I thought it would be appropriate to announce our main guests for Conestoga 11, July 27th through the 29th, 2007. Our guest of honor will be Laurel K. Hamilton. Our artist guest of honor will be John Picasso. Our Toastmaster will be Elizabeth Moon. And our fan guests of honor will be Richard and Michelle Zellick. And the fun doesn't stop between now and then. We'll be posting podcasts recorded at the con and release them over the coming months. And when it comes time to gear up for 11, we'll start the whole podcast cycle over again. Looking forward to seeing you all at Conestoga 10. For more information, our web address is www.sftulsa.org or send an email to conestoga@sftulsa.org. Questions about our podcast may be sent to podcast@sftulsa.org. Thank you for listening.